everyone. You love the music, now be a part of the movement. Press Play is building a home for artists and fans just like you, and now you can help shape it. All you gotta do is go to pressplay.me and grab you some merch and wear it really loud and really proud, and of course, buy it for everybody you know. And know that you're helping musicians and music stay real, independent, and alive. And here's something really special. You can send a personal message to the artist of your choice. If we've done an interview with them, you have an opportunity to write them a note. You can write them a small message, or you can write them a whole letter, and it will go directly to them. Just click the link on any of our interviews, write from the heart, and let your voice be heard. So tune in, rock with us, and press play. Get the gear, send the love. Music lives when the fans do.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Press Play Radio Conversations. I'm the Donnie, the Donnelly. And we got Tina Hauser, our CEO.
Peace.
Who I have to act like I listen to her.
Thank you. No, I'm kidding.
I do. We're a team. We are a team. She does get on me, though, Morgan. I have to tell you. There are times that she's like, when she needs something, she's not afraid to be assertive.
Oh. Well, that's a good quality in a girl, right?
Yes.
Means, right? That means she loves you. She cares about you.
Family.
That's it. Well, I love it. Well, it's great to have you back, Morgan Miles. How are you?
Great. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers.
We are on the eve of my album release party tomorrow.
Sweet.
Woo. You know, I wanted to make the cover vibes come alive. So Morgan might have had this big grand plan. And so now I'm stuck with like 500 candles. Didn't realize I had to put batteries in all of them. It's going to be a great show. It's just like.
You don't want to use real ones because one gets knocked over.
No, yeah, I feel like that's just an accident waiting to happen. I don't have good enough luck for that to risk that. But anyways, it's been a day. The wine that was being shipped from Chapelet Winery got all, like you have to sign for that because it's alcohol. And she was donating it to support it. And we lost it, but we found it. We found it, you guys. But can they just, when you're not talking to a real human being and you're trying to physically find packages, it's okay.
I'll tell you, that's worthy of like the media, mainstream media needs to cover that if you couldn't find the wine. That's a terrible missing person.
I think there's a Carly Pierce song about that. Actually, it's Hide the Wine, but it's I better find the wine. Like, where is it? Oh, yes. Boy. Yeah.
Or a lot of sports set, you'd be like the black fly in your Chardonnay, right?
Oh, my gosh. That's very true. Those damn fruit flies.
It's that black fly in your Chardonnay. You know that song? Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah. Don't you think?
Don't you think?
Well, last time, so before we dive back into Morgan Miles, and we're going to talk about the amazing cover you did. We're going to talk about the album release. But last time you were here, you know, one of the things that people got endeared to you by was your appearance on The Voice. There was another performance we didn't talk about that I have that is actually very relevant today, and it was very impactful, this performance. I know a lot of people that were blown away by it. So if you don't mind, can I play it?
Sure.
Sure. All right.
I wonder what it is.
She's like, ooh, surprises.
It's right here.
Sweet, sweet love.
Cruise.
The ending of it is just the way your voice inflected and you carried it. Sorry, the video picture wasn't really popping. But your performance there, and you know, I love when I'm listening to a live show. Case in point, there's a song by Billy Vera and the Beaters called "What Did You Think?" It was made famous on the show Family Ties years ago. You remember this, Tina, this song?
Yes, I do.
And there's moments where just a song in a scene just adds like 50-fold on whatever's going on. And that song, when you listen to it and you sit down and listen to this performance and you're hearing the pauses and the crowd going, woo, woo, like they're making these noises as you, and I heard it in that performance. It was Camilla, maybe, who did that. But there's something about that when you're performing live. When you're playing in a smaller venue, do you hear those things? Do you hear the little noises when people give the little cheer? Yeah.
Yeah, because I choose, mainly, I choose it when I can to not use ears so that I can really hear audience moments just to feel more connected. I don't like that wall that the ears kind of take away. So I'm one of those old school people that just want the wedge, but there's a time and a place. But yeah, in those moments, for sure. Now, we had ears on the show, so I didn't see or didn't hear, but you can feel their energy. The crazy thing with that performance, I will say, I think everybody, for that song in particular, people have their own vision of how that song should be delivered. Me and Camille were very similar women. When we fight for things, like we feel very convicted and passionate about things. So I was delivering it from that place. And she even said, move your arms even more, you know, like go for it and like just really give the dramatic, because it's like what the world needs now is love. And that was 2022. But I mean, if maybe people would have understood my angst of the delivery of that even more right now. But it was still that was the purpose of that song being chosen. It's like, we need to lead with love. This is what the world needs more of. And that's where me and Camila both agreed on. I think Gwen had said I'd moved my arms too much. This is the one time I kind of got a little bad critique from Gwen. And it was like, I just moved my arms too much and it was distracting, but Camila had told me to move my arms more. And that is why art is opinion. She even admitted in the thing, she goes, I told her to do that.
And she stuck up for you.
You know, it's just like, huh?
At least she stuck up for you. Like she came to.
I know. And she knew right. I mean, and I think the scenes even showed of our rehearsals of her going, just really get into it, like move more, you know, because Camila is way more. It just really depends how. And again, you could deliver that song in more of a sweetness. Like you could. It could definitely be more of a laid back, not a come on, you guys, freaking love one another. That's how I took it. Other people might take it more of this, like, more of a hymnal or more of a kind, soft vibe. I was doing it more of, like, wake up. Everybody, quit. Ain't that deep. Hug one another.
Oh, hug it out. Hug it out.
That's a great point of view.
It is a great point of view. And
I mean, that's how I always heard it until this whole situation. I went, oh, that's. There's other ways of this song. Okay. But that just shows how good songs can mean a thousand different things. So
what was that? Oh, Tina, you're gonna have to help me. Nicolas Cage, Meg Ryan, He Was an Angel.
Oh, City of Angels.
Oh my god.
City
of Angels, right?
Yay, look at her go. The end of that was the worst movie I'd ever seen.
And then you're gonna talk about the Goo Goo Dolls, aren't you?
Well, that's what I mean, is when you can write a song that fits so perfectly with a movie and the lyrics fitting whatever that, you know, Nicolas Cage's character is going through. I give up forever to touch you. I mean, holy. So, I mean, you're the closest to heaven that I've ever come. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
knowing what's at risk in that song, where he's heading. And my God. So have you ever watched a show or a movie and thought, I could write a song for this, or ever get inspired to?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Give me an example.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like I have a ton that would work in Yellowstone, but literally, even like my mind, I wrote a Crackle Barrel ad the other day, just like a little jingle off this whole basis of the rocking chair.
Let's hear it.
I can't remember at the moment, but this is how fat, like, my brain is always nonstop. But, or I'll take my songs that I've written. I'm like, oh my God, that would be like, you know, Brighter Shade of Blue is like a song I've never released. But I was like, gosh, that'd be so great for like a laundry detergent jingle.
Like, cheer.
It's like so happy. Cheers. And then like I had a song, it was an older song called like Up to You. And I was like, that's perfect. Like, it's to you, I'm down, baby, it's up to you. I'm like, that is a jingle. Like, come on. So, I mean, that happens to me all the time where I'm like, oh, this song would fit for there, or we should have, like, Love is Lonesome is a new song that's coming out on Friday off of my record. The record's coming out. And I'm like, that song belongs in Land Man. It belongs in any of that, you know, Ty Sheridan stuff.
Tell me what's going on behind that song.
It's a great song about just honestly the dynamics of love. Just it's not just this like really sad song, but it's like, love is lonesome. Or no, this is my favorite part of the song. It's a constant craving. It'll make you go crazy. That feeling of aching never goes away. All love is lonesome. Just that constant craving, it'll make you go crazy. It's just that emotion of something you can't buy, can't take for granted, gotta nurture, you gotta have it for yourself before you give it. And it's so crazy that this one thing that we all want can be taken away very quickly, and it can be abusive, it can be manipulative. It's a song all about that feeling. That like when it's just so, and that's why love is so complicated in a lot of ways. And I'm still a believer that it doesn't have to be. Just doesn't have to be. Love is lonesome.
Written with Gary Nichols.
My man, he's gonna be at my show tomorrow, and he's gonna sing with me. He's gonna sing that one. He's on the record too. Like, he's singing with me on like, gosh, Fault Lines, Waiting to Happen, Rock Bottom, Love is Lonesome, Waiting for Your Words. How does that sound? Where else did he sing? Yeah, I mean, he's on a lot of them. And we wrote, I think, 5 songs on the record together. We wrote probably like 15 songs in Muscle Shoals for this album. We wrote 80 in total, but I wrote like 15 with Gary. And yeah, we got into a flow. So, and my producer was really just like, I don't know what you two are doing, but keep it up.
So you wrote these and you were at Muscle Shoals when you did these or recorded them or?
Recorded the album at Dave's Room in LA, but I wrote a lot in Austin, Texas, of course in Nashville, but mostly in Muscle Shoals. Mostly left and got into just the Southern sound of soul, which is, you know, I wrote Fame Studios one day. That was really just like a surreal moment. Yeah, there's just something about that town. I love how everybody writes, and it's so just all about the music. And I need to be reminded about that, because people are losing their souls left and right here. So I just think it's good to get out into Muscle Shoals, where it's just so ingrained in their souls, and I feel much more like I belong there. So, yeah, I could have recorded there, I guess, if we wanted to, but the musicians, my producer's based in LA, the musicians that he wanted to use a lot were in LA, but he flew people. We've had a musician, Jed Hughes from Nashville came. David Grissom from Austin, Texas came. Jimmy Paxton, he's in LA. Actually, I don't know where he lives right now.
Government Mule, the bass player, Jurgen, he was on it. He lives in L.A. So, nice. Yeah, we just, Gary flew from Shoals to L.A. to do the BGB. So it was a wild project.
That's fantastic.
We did it the old school way. It's been a 2-year project for sure. So
right now, what you see me doing on the side there is I'm queuing up here in a moment. I'll have Laced here because Laced is on this new album and you just released a video for it like 23 hours ago. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, well, we had to redrop it because there was a format issue. But yes, I made a movie. All right. Hear me out, y'all. Me and my harebrained idea. A week before I called off all my wedding and everything, before it got really bad, I made this whole movie out of the entire song. Very realistic, blah, blah, blah. And I had to do all this and act, and my whole world is like freaking falling apart. And I'm in between a tour. Like, it was so crazy. And I'm like, I know I was just like, just getting through it, compartmentalizing, coming home to all that. Oh my God. And anyways, so like the ring in the movie is like mine. I mean, it's, I couldn't watch the playback from it for like 3 months because it was too raw. We were supposed to release this record in November. I think I just was too overwhelmed. And I was like, we got to wait till like, I didn't stop. This is the longest I've been home since everything. And so which I'm saying like a couple weeks. So I just needed a moment of mercy. See? It's in there. So I shot this whole thing. So Laced is the intro. It's obviously the album title, but it's the intro to everything. And when we originally dropped it, I was just busy and I didn't realize the formatting was like this square thing. And they're like, oh, we thought you wanted it. I was like, no. So anyways, we redrop Lace and that's going to set up for this cool like rollout of this very narrative, very real, very raw film. And then we had to reshoot the ending of it because it didn't end in a wedding. So we will have 2 alternative endings as life is like that.
Indeed. Yes, it will. Yeah, it sure is. Why is that 10?
Well, also, honestly, I followed my producer's lead on how he wanted to roll us out. First off, the biggest thing is this baby. So Wax is so different because of having to fit things on a certain side. We actually, on the vinyl, could not include one of the songs because it could not fit time-wise. It was going to distort some of the other songs.
Oh.
And because of Wax, right? So anyways, that was a big part of it to fit on the vinyl. So I knew, like, on a sonic level, he would understand it more than me. And I'm going to trust a Grammy Award, 7-time Grammy Award winner.
Yeah, I would think so.
And so we absolutely started with Fault Lines because that guitar riff is just sick. And also, Fault Lines is like this feeling of like, oh my gosh, like, should I fall in love? You can kind of take it wherever you are in your relationship. Then Waiting to Happen is like, oh my gosh, all this shit that happened to me before, I was just waiting for it to happen and it all makes sense now. I'm still waiting for it to happen. Rock Bottom, though, just goes like, I wrote Rock Bottom from a really real place when my grandmother was in hospice for like 6 weeks and it was just a lot of emotions and everything. Love is Lonesome after that. It makes sense. And American Sky kind of takes you out of the element of love into something bigger perspective and very country based. And then that Bad Faith, Weight of Your Words is, you know, another. Then it goes, how does that sound? Is love? Que Sera is like, let's do this life that can be hard. Let's pick it back up. Laced is this moment again of just how we honestly. The reason why we
put things where they do it. It's how your ear will listen to the dynamic versus just being like, here, let's tell this story. Now, the movie rollout is entirely different because it does all makes a story and like story arcs. And that was done by me.
Hello.
Now, when you guys go, I don't get it. Well, just, you know, it was me.
We'll write something nice anyway, honey.
No, just give it to me straight. I'm so used to it at this point. Social media just makes you.
I know, makes you nuts. Makes you nuts. Tina, you want to see it?
Social media. Well, yes, I'm definitely going to see it. But speaking of social media, so my son and I, we're always constantly sending back and forth. We've had multiple English bulldogs, right? So he sends me an English bulldog video and I'm watching it. I go, oh my gosh, that's Morgan. I was like, oh, tell me your English bulldog story.
That okay, first off, that is Brutus. That is my manager's like little puppy, little. And Brutus is ridiculous. And when I stay at my manager's house in Colorado, this dog like runs after me and it's like he can barely breathe. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. And he like bites my ankles and all this stuff. But we get back from playing like an event and this dog is just playing dead in the street. Like and we can't get him up. And so I post this thing. It's just like, we all have that one friend that's had a little too much at the party. This post just like takes off. And it's so funny because now my manager, she just thinks, oh my gosh, you need to make all this content with Brutus. That's the key. That is the key. And I go, Bobby, I'm known as the brown pants girl. Okay. Nobody knows that I am a singer. There's nothing in it. I'm like, that's not the answer. But my God, it got like so many views. I'm like, maybe I should just be singing to him, serenading him.
Every night. It's crazy. It's crazy what gets viral.
Oh my gosh. My dad had recently, I took a video because it was so funny because I look over at him. And he's watching the Budweiser commercial again. And I go, are you crying? So I go over. He's probably a couple of glasses of wine in. But I'm sitting there. I go, okay, Dad, I'm going to explain the Budweiser. Because he's like, if you take a Clydesdale and you take an Eagle, that's patriotism. And it was just something. He's like, and then Freebird. And the way he delivered it was so funny. It's at 500,000 on TikTok. I'm like, are you kidding me? The dumbest stuff on TikTok takes off. Like,
It does. So what I got to do is for this interview, I got to do really something really stupid during this.
Say something. It almost has to be controversial in a way, I think, because a way the Bud Light commercial or the Budweiser thing is controversial because of what happened before. So it's like all of a sudden you're looking at your comments and you're like, they're just having fights within themselves, you know? Like I posted something about Zach Brown Band at the Sphere when I was in Vegas for opening night. And I just literally, it's me just looking up at the Sphere. And I just said, point of view, you're sitting at the ZBB opening night of the Sphere. And it went crazy. And because it was this like whole thing of people took it like it was satanic and stuff. And it wasn't meant that. And I'm like, so you guys.
Satanic.
Yeah. I'm like, you guys are going like demonic and you guys are flipping out over something that you don't even know because it's opening night and you weren't here to see the full story. And right. he was trying to explain in a more abstract way his like wrestling with like his issues with his abusive stepfather. And so right. It was like a step. And I get how some of it might have connected. But I'm like, oh my gosh, like, no, that's. And he was like, you know, he wasn't trying to say any of that. And it was just really taken wrong. So yeah, that's why it's like, I hate like how social media, it's like, it has to be something controversial or a bulldog.
Right.
Yeah.
Or an English bulldog.
Or
but really, it was like, that was like a meme in a way. It was like, we all have that one friend, and it's like, but maybe it is the bulldog, but he's not my dog.
We got to put Morgan on retainer.
She can make little shorts. I thought it was like your parents' dog.
Oh, no, that's Bobby's dog, my manager, but my mom has blonde hair too, so people probably thought that too, because we have a little Lassapoo.
That's so funny. Well, I think it's here's a little divergence or segue. Not really. I'm gonna play a little Lace Now. We're gonna come back to that because, and here we go. That's the tease, everybody. You got to go buy it, watch it, all that.
Just do it all.
My goodness.
Do it all.
It was hot.
Why? That's all.
I thought you looked.
I know.
Thank you.
But it's so well done. I mean, the lighting. I can't wait. You said that is part of a movie.
It's kind of like this like little short form film where it's not short form. It's like a short. Is it called short film? Like it's a short film.
How long it is? How long is it?
Like 40. It's like the length of an album. So it's like 45 minutes. And so I walk you. I was able to kind of narrate and tie all the songs together to.
That's fantastic.
I hope. I mean, it was a big
Denver. It was big in Denver.
It's Colorado. I think it's going to turn out really cool. I mean, I've seen a lot of the footage. I've seen everything. I haven't seen the reshoot, but we're going to start rolling it out really soon. I would rather start with short form content to not give it all away. And then we'll drop everything at the end of it. Because that is our retention span, people. So,
yeah, that's been a big topic for us is just, we just know that people don't sit and anymore unless they're just gripped from the beginning. And if you're telling a story, people will lock into it. Look, people sat through a 2.5-hour episode of Stranger Things. So people will sit for something that's quality. Yeah. And where I can tell, that would be worth sitting through already. From what I've seen, and
I'm excited for it.
59 seconds.
You know, it's you know, when I sit back and I think about it, and I go, man, this past year was really tough because I'm not an artist that's like a character. There's a lot of artists that have this like alter persona. I can kind of put on the gimmick or put on like some cool Western thing, or you know, Sabrina Carpenter can be like this alter ego, and a lot of them are this whole thing. Unfortunately, my brand has always been just completely real, you know?
I have to mute for a second.
Hold on.
It's a weird thing that happens with this Riverside thing, like Tina's aside. Like 40 minutes in, it starts staticking and she has to wait like 3 minutes. And Yeah. In fact, going forward, what I should do is say Tina gets the floor for the first 10 minutes. Then I talk.
Then she can like.
Right. Then she can roll out all she wants at that point.
Now, you can count it down. You're like, this is the part of the show where we mute Tina and just make it. You just make a whole thing of it.
I will never mute Tina. Tina has a lot of good things to say. But when I let her, when I shut up, which I will do once I play the next song, I'm going to let Tina just take it from there because then she'll be back and I'll let her ask all the questions she wants. But I do want to do this cover. Hold on. Let me hit pause. I'm going to come back here. Let me come out of this. So we can talk about it. So obviously, Sister Golden Hair was one of those songs I've loved since I was a kid. It came out in 75. I'm going to age myself. I was 4 years old when that song came out. And I've loved it ever since. And just the first verses, right? I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set myself on sights on Monday and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar, but I do believe there's times when a woman can sure be a friend of mine. It's just a brilliant way to open verse song. And then I saw Jerry actually loved your rendition. So I wanted to just have you talk about why Sister Golden Hair was important for you to cover and in the way you did it. Cause I'm going to play, actually, let me play it and then we'll talk about it. Is it all tie in? So I'm going to go back here because I do love how you do this.
Keep on thinking about you, Sister Golden Hair Surprise. And I just can't live without you. Can't you see it in my eyes? I've been one more chorus on you, and I've been too hard to find. But it doesn't.
So beautiful. That is just obviously it's the tempo is slowed down. It's a focus on your voice. So let's talk about that because it is such an iconic song.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to take things more soul country. I'm like soul country to my core. The reason Jerry Beckley is actually on my label Blue Alon. And, this song was turning, is it 50 years old? Was it the anniversary? Is it 50? Yes. Okay. It was 50 years old. And my record label head, he is just like such an America fan. And he was like, I really want to do something to celebrate this like iconic moment. And I go, well, obviously of all the songs that came out that year, it's absolutely Sister Golden Hair that I relate to. And he goes, yeah, I'm not surprised because of just like everything that was going on, like the altar.
Right.
And I go, yes, that's the one. And so, and then like, yeah, it was so cool. Like I'm sitting there in the studio and Jerry Beckley like's on the phone. He's like sitting having dinner in like London with Elton John, and Kirk calls him and he's like, oh my gosh, man, it's sounding so good. Like, oh, I can't wait. And then every time, we got further with the track, like, you know, Jerry was like really just supportive and appreciative of it. And then on top of that, we made an a cappella version of it with this UCLA group. That's like an a cappella group, and we did it with them too. So we did a lot because it's just a cool thing. Like what a historical moment of what that song is and what it did. It's just crazy.
Did you hear in the background, who are you talking to? It was Elton John. That'd be so wild. Can I hear it too?
I'm like Kirk's like telling me that, and I'm like, going, can I talk to Elton John? Like, I'm like, it's bubbling, like, can I talk to them? Because like then I can just die happy. Thank you.
Yeah. No kidding.
Oh but my God. And I've asked a lot of questions too about that song, and it is really just kind of like this longing of like he wasn't being able to like kind of commit. It wasn't anything that was like serious or anything. It was just kind of like talking, but it was about like this non-committal relationship. But what I really liked was like, can you meet me in the middle? Can you meet me in the air? Can you meet me? It's just like, and for me at that moment in my life, I was like, my person just wasn't, if they said they were able to meet you in the middle, but it was like, unless you compromise pretty much everything to make me happy, I'm not going to be happy. And it was just like, you can't, love is not like that. I mean, you have to be able to meet in the middle. You have to be able to, and just next time it's like, just be honest with yourself because you knew what you were getting into. And I will never, I think one of the most hurtful things was kind of hearing from a few people in my life that like, I kind of somewhat respect, but somebody was like, you know, kind of saying like, well, look what you do for a job, you know, like the fact that you're always gone and stuff. And I'm like, no, like that's not, again, this person started dating me. Like I was playing 150 shows that year. It's not like anything had changed. So that one kind of stabs sometimes because I'm like, at the same time, I will say this. If I wasn't in music, I know I'd be traveling everywhere and I would be living my life probably pretty similar. I just happen to be stepping on. Yeah, I just happen to be stepping on to a stage, but I'd still be living my life and doing a lot of things. So I just, some people just are very small minded. I come from a small town, so it's, sometimes I think I get a little twisted up in it. So, and I just got to go, not everybody's going to have the same path. And I have to like go, God gave me a voice for a reason. And it is what it is. So this song for me, kind of like, I just related to it because it was just like, we've chose kind of a different path. And it's like, you're just trying to meet people to understand you. I think we get really misunderstood. Yeah.
There's anything that we need, it's connection, especially in the world that we live in today, which is exactly the reason why we created these cards, the Song Story Game. We sit and we talk to artists all the time about the stories behind the songs, the story behind the songs that they loved when they were growing up. And so we put together a game that you can own now and put it on your coffee table. And there's a few different ways you can play it. You can play it just as a conversation starter. You can play it with couples and besties for points, or you can play it in a team setting. Three different ways you can have a lot of fun talking about music. One of my favorite ways to play it is to actually answer the question, give a little detail, and then play the song. This game could go on for hours. It's entirely up to you, but get yours today at pressplay.me.
Perfect. All right, Tina, it's your turn.
If you remember last time we played a little song story game, right?
Oh boy. Yes. So
I'm going to pick a card, any card, and we're going to have you answer it. Okay.
Okay.
Oh boy. I don't want to do that one. That was
COVID-19. Well, read it anyway. What was it?
Okay. The question was, what song defined your COVID-19 experience?
Jeez. Wow.
Probably my song therapy, because when I had dropped my album Therapy, January 2020, after I had fought to get my master's back from a very crooked manager, and I drop it and then the whole world shut down. And then I was like, isn't that funny? Therapy. That's when I should have taken the sign to stop what I'm doing, become like a therapist, go back to school, and I would be bringing it in right now because the mental health crisis that's going on. Everybody needs therapy.
Amen, sister.
What the world needs now is therapists and therapists. Yes.
All right. I'm gonna
ain't nobody know how to cope. You just need some water whiskey.
I have a cope and a smile.
And shut that you up. You're right. If you could dedicate one song to the world, what would it be?
Of mine?
It could be yours. It could be anyone's. Like, what does the world need right now? What song?
I need Hallelujah. Amazing Grace.
It would Hallelujah is an amazing song. You needs cover to be that something. So well.
Yeah, I think. Gosh.
What the world needs now is a good one.
Mm-hmm. It'd just be something about, like, I think what happened is everybody's world got so selfish and egotistical and really, really small, because that's when you're sitting home by yourself, and COVID did that. We're all in these technology things. It's like the biggest thing is connectivity and who we are as humans to come together. And that's how we honestly survive, feel good, emotionally, everything. And it just took away. It's just that isolation. So I just think right now, it's almost like people need to look with, like, outside this bubble of our world and the hatred, because everybody, I could be like saving a duck from the ice storm and someone's going to say something negative. And it's just like, why are we in such this disgusting cesspool? Because they figured out, all the influencers figured out, all of the major players on social media figured out that a negative gets overhook, right? Makes people stop scrolling and it gets better. I mean, just like the news did. I mean, we're just on a freaking hamster wheel. So, I mean, that's what, like, a lot of my song American Sky is about. It's just like, we got to have hope. We got to come together as a country. I'm still proud to be an American. I'm still so proud of what this country was founded on. I want to support that hope. And we got to start being more patriotic towards one another. But this, no wonder everybody's sick in the head. My God, it's terrible.
You said it, sister.
People are talking to ChatGPT like it's their freaking brother. I know. They're having, like, and they don't even need friends anymore. No, what is going on? Please reach the level now is,
it's
God, we need you. God.
There's AI girlfriends and boyfriends now. Like, people are developing AI relationships with a figure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Love is lonesome.
Morgan, where can your fans or people who are just going to be watching this find more about you?
Everywhere. No. go to
there.
I think a great landing is just everything's pretty much Morgan Miles Live, MORGANMYLES music, or live. And I'm pretty much, we try to keep it simple. So everywhere.
Are you touring anytime soon?
Yes, I am. I've got some shows in the works. What we're really trying to do is be a little bit more strategic of where we're playing. I've got, like, of course, I have shows all the time, but we're trying to put something really cool together. I have this crazy idea. I'll just put it out now. It's called House of Lace. Key thing, so you just took it totally different than I was, like, but I want to do this, like, cool experience, like candlelit, like very vibey, where, because one of my favorite things to do with the audience that I discovered last year was to write music on the spot with what they give me. I write the music, all the guitar part, whatever the melody, and from their hook that they give me. And it has brought people to tears. It has been such a cool experience. And I did it for like 150 shows over the last year and a half. And so I just love that feeling of, like, if we could walk in and it's like candles and it's like, let's write music and like vibe and we'll do the album. But everybody can be like, just open up, mm-hmm. story time. And so I really want that for my soul. Like, I just, things that are more intentional and cool.
Which brings me to this. I don't know if you realize this, but one of our partners here at Press Play came to see you in New York City and got in an accident on the way to the show. And I think he brought you a present
He did, but I didn't know he got in an accident.
Yeah, he got an accident on the way there.
He still went.
Yeah, he still got there. Yeah, an attack.
Did he enjoy the time?
He did. He said the show was amazing. He really enjoyed your voice and had a great time.
Well, I'm glad the accident was semi-worth it. Jeez, that's so sad. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Did you get your gift?
Did, because I was just saying, I have the game. I have it right behind this wall. It's on a shelf that I keep with my music stuff. So I have your game.
Awesome.
Yes. So thank you for all the gifts, you guys.
You betcha.
But no, that was a really cool show. It was for Operation Men. And then we did the Veterans Pray the next day. And it was just all about veterans. And it was just such a special night for all the doctors, all the veterans. And it was just a cool night because it started out their 3-day thing. So that's glad people were able to make it out. So please tell them thank you.
There are artists like you that care about people like that.
Oh my gosh. I would do anything. I really would. I do it every year. We'll have to get you guys next year. I'm going to push my label to be a little bit more on top of it so that we really get the show more in advance because it's always last minute.
Yeah.
But it's so cool because these are post 9/11 veterans that have been severely wounded, and UCLA has a program within it called Operation Men. And it's basically like St. Jude's, everything's covered, but they also take care of the caretakers. And there's all these volunteers around LA that actually put them up in their houses while they're going through all the surgeries. It's literally the most moving thing. And then the soldiers come that have been through the surgeries and been gifted this, and how grateful they are, how spectacular their stories are. And then, but the way that they've treated the caretakers and then the therapy side of everything, PTSD. So, I mean, I'll support that program to the day I die.
That's hands awesome. Down.
And I'm just so glad my label continues to support those types of things. They're hands-on, they release music, all the proceeds go. So that's why I love Blue Line. They're just a really rare, interesting label that does stuff that's all heart-led. Mm-hmm. We might not be the big kahunas like Warner and Sony, but or whatever, but their hearts are in the right place.
That's awesome. That is really awesome.
It's rare.
Thank you.
I hope they never drop me.
No.
Please don't drop me. Yeah.
Do not drop Morgan. We will come after you.
Right.
I am the Don after all.
I know. Don, I was going to say the Don.
She's everywhere anyway. So all you have to do is look out your window and she's going to.
See, I got to do this. And then it all changes, right?
No, we all
have that.
There we go.
There you go.
Hey, don't mess with this guy over here.
Which hat are you?
I got the LA hat on.
Yeah, we all got different hats on here. It's a hat party.
It's a hat party.
It is. What's on top of your noggin?
Hey, baby.
That's so great. Well, Morgan, we always love having you on. I your record dropping is huge. We want you around. I mean, you've got a voice that should be on the radio constantly. Well, and that's just the weirdest thing about music today. There's artists that you hear and you're like, they just, I don't know if it's right place or right time or a deal was made with the devil or something, but there's so much people like yourself that should be right, this is the third song off the album that's on the radio right now is how you sound. So that's just, our society is so weird and I think that's one of the things, and we're going to talk to you about it here when we wrap up, when we're done. That's one of our mission statements is because we see the music industry is the way it is. You're going to hear how we're addressing that, but we'll get into that offline. We don't want to bore everybody here, but.
It was so crazy that I wanted to tell you guys, I recently went to Chile. South America, and I was extremely nervous to play there because I'm like, who the heck knows me? And I can't believe the response of just them responding to like my gift. And it was, we thought we'd sell 300 tickets. We sold out the place at 700, and it was such a good turnout, and people were wearing their Western wear and like coming out and just so blown away and singing. And to me, I was like, it fed my soul on a whole nother level of just at least that culture just was like recognizing something good. Cause you know, they knew K-Sarah.
Can I bring up something here that you just triggered something in me that is so, so true. I think that as much as maligned as people try to make our country to be, I'll tell you that people around the world, if they know you're a band or a musician from America, it takes it 100 times up. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to know too much about your music to know, oh my God, that's an American artist. I got to go see them. I got to go hear them. Is that the vibe you got too? Because that's, I've worked with bands that they'll go to places that in the US, they go to a club and maybe 10 people will show up. They go to like Europe,
Japan.
Just because they're an American rock band, boom, it'll be packed out.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I didn't know what to expect. I've never been to South America. And I think for me, I was very worried about them understanding me, but it didn't matter. They were just so incredibly kind. And like, and truly, it was like fandom. And I didn't know how to feel that night. I was just like, it was overwhelming. Like, I was like, what? But you know what? Also, the promoters really promoted it. They promoted it. They did a really good job. They didn't just say it all relies on you, the artists. In today's American society, it's like, well, if you want it,
go get it.
You know, mm-hmm. It's incredible because there's no flat line of like, it's so hard to navigate. Like if this venue is actually promoting or if this like, and it all really just comes down on, you know, I feel, God, it sounds like a victim. I feel really bad for artists these days because it's like we keep having to shell out everything we have, but yet do the most work. But people kind of make you feel like, well, this is what you want. You want it. It's almost like that's like feeling like we just want attention. That's not it. We just need a team. We need people to help us. Like, and then you kind of feel like just not supported. Like you're just like, I'm trying my best. I can't be five different things. I can't shoot content and sing. I'm trying to like, and then I got to be a film editor. And when am I going to rehearse my songs? How am I going to get from A to B and post it? And then, but all these other people are getting paid besides you, and it's heartbreaking. And then Suno drops and your whole world feels like it's crashing. And then you go to Chile and then you're like, dude, this ain't so bad. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, I think it comes down to creating experiences for people to realize that music has to have a soul. And I will fight for that till the day I die. I can either put my stake in the ground or just give up. And I really feel like the world still needs people to these kids that are just getting started, they just don't understand the import. They're skipping so many steps because when you are in this position, you are a vessel and they have no respect. I'm kind of like, I sound like so. They have no respect for the people that came before you. I was in the 10-year town and you had, that's a formula in Nashville and it's the hard knocks. You are so humble by the time you get on that Opry stage and that is not happening anymore. And I know it's not going to change and more. You just like, I feel like I sound old, but I had to earn every strap I have, every scar I've got on my body is because of, and I'm still doing it. And it's sometimes a hard pill for me to swallow to sit back and watch. Right. But I have to believe that I'm more of the Chris Stapleton story because I always looked up to him and the Jeffrey Steele story. And I love him and I get to play shows with him now. And like it all comes 360. I just I feel like the people that do it for the right reasons always stay. And but God needs us to help the world more than ever. And if you're here, again, I've always said, if you're here for ego, but the shallowness that I'm seeing, because social media is beyond shallow. And country music is about the real person. Like, you have to be the real thing. Like, you just can't be something you're not. And I don't know what's going to come of it, but I'm just going to keep navigating my own journey and my own path and trying to help people the best way I can. I wish I could. I wish I had the brain to, like, you know, cure cancer. All I can do is sit there and try to make people feel that they're not alone, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's great. You're amazing.
That is my spiel.
Oh, I love your spiel. You can. I love when you talk. We just sit and listen.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Morgan, for all
thank
of
you,
that.
Morgan.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm always absolutely around if you need anything.
Oh, you're amazing. So we're going to, as I said, sit tight. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody or good, whenever you're watching this, whatever time of day you see this. Take care of yourself. Take care of others around you. You know, there's only us, as Morgan was saying.
Mm-hmm. Go check so Morgan do out. It.
Do it, or Morgan yes. will get you. All right, we'll be back. Thank you again, Morgan. Morgan Miles, everybody.
Hi, y'all.
Bye.